Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question. Is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast. So when the idea of starting this podcast came to my mind, I wondered if anyone would actually listen. It's often so easy to find reasons why we shouldn't do the thing, easy to talk ourselves out of doing it before we even start. But the truth is, if we can get past all the noise in our heads and just do it, we might just know why the idea came to us in the first place. And this totally happened to me a couple months ago. I was reminded of the why behind Naked when I received a message from Sweet Savannah, a girl that I've known for most of her life, but I haven't really known her story through her lens and her pain and experiences. Our families have been really closely connected. We've done church together. Her mom and I did Moms and Tots together. We lived in the same town, but I've never truly known Savannah's story from her. So I was really surprised to get a message from her when she told me she wanted to join Naked. She told me she was inspired to share about the time in her life when everything changed after she listened to her mom's podcast and her auntie Jamie's podcast. And after that, she's like, I just knew I needed to share my journey. She is one of my youngest guests, and oh my gosh, she is one incredible woman who shares the extreme struggles and pains she's gone through, but she also shares about how she found healing, how she did the work and how it worked. She is a beautiful soul who shares her story so authentically and openly, and I was so delighted to have this conversation with her. I want you to know, though, in this conversation, there may be some things that be triggering. We talk about alcoholism, sexual abuse, and suicide. So please be aware when tuning into this episode. And if you haven't listened to her mom and Jamie's podcast, please go back to episode 5 and 7 and listen to their stories. All are so inspiring. I hope today that you enjoy this episode and you find inspiration and courage for wherever you are in your own journey. Thank you so much for being here today. All right. Thank you again for coming back to Naked and being with us. I am so excited to have my dear guest today. We go way back. I've known Savannah since I think she was probably like maybe a newborn or around that. Maybe she was in her like 2 or under. And we had like the awesome privilege of living in the same town for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And if you are a familiar podcast listener here, her mom was on episode 5. So I'd suggest if you haven't heard it to go back to that and take a listen because she's an mm-hmm. incredible woman and we are like besties. And so today I have my bestie's daughter, Savannah, on and I'm so excited that she's here. She's like, you know, like one of my own kind of. So I'm so excited she's here to share her story and to be with us. Before we get going, Savannah, do you want to tell a little bit about who you are and what you're up to in life right now?
Yes. I've been working at Starbucks for 3 years. Technically not 3 years. I decided to go to Banff for 2 weeks and I came home and now I'm still working in Starbucks. And, so that's been good. Took a year off from high school, graduated last year. And now this upcoming fall, I'm going to Olds College for equine care management to learn how to just take care of horses and manage horses and a barn.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. September 3rd.
That's so exciting. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. It's exciting, but scary, but exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. But you've always had a passion though for horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to learn more about it and meet people to like, I don't know, show me more on that kind of world. Cause I've always grown up just in the city. So.
Oh my gosh. That is going to be amazing. It's really cool that you took some time. I think sometimes we can feel pressured to graduate and go directly into the thing, whatever it is. But sometimes we can kind of like you said, you went into the trailer in Banff, which those of you who don't know Banff, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place.
Yes, it is.
That's about an hour from where Savannah lives. But it's amazing that you were able to go try that out and be like, no, this isn't for me, whatever you're doing there, and then come back and take some time to think about what you really want to do. Because that, I mean, connecting and doing something that you love, that is the beauty of like finding your place in the work world, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You can connect those two. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was hard because, I mean, I kind of didn't have, like, a great high school career, and I never really knew what I wanted to do. Like, I mean, when I was in, like, grade six, I was like, let's be a police officer. And then I realized, like, that is a lot of that's heavy. It's really heavy work to do. And I was like, I don't think I could do that. And then I was like, oh, I was thinking kind of about social worker because I'm, like, I'm really big on, like, helping kids and everything. And then I was thinking about being a teacher, too. And I was like, no, I'm not patient enough. And then I thought I was going to be, like, a nurse or something like my mom. Because I love helping others and all those kind of things. But bio was way too hard for me. And I was like, and I can kind of see, like, how much pressure and how much, like, how heavy that job is, too.
Yeah.
That I knew, and I've always known my entire life, like, I mean, I want to live on a big farm with a bunch of kids, and I want to be a stay-at-home mom. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And so it's just like, I need something that's going to be able to get me there, but I can, like, I want a job. I love working at Starbucks. I feel like I have a purpose. Like, a job for me, I'd be working since I was 14 years old. Like, I'm 19 now. That is super just important to me. Yeah. To work, but I mean, I've always known that I wanted to be a mom and that I want to do all these things. So I wanted to find something that I was like, okay, I love horses. I love the country. Kind of coincides with like what I want to do in my life. And so I was like, maybe I'll just manage a barn and just, it'll be fun and I'll see
what
I like.
Incredible. That is incredible. There's something so like those other traits and workplaces are really great, but like you said, there is a lot of heaviness to that, and I feel like obviously there's every workspace has its own element of weight, but I feel like there's something beautifully calming about being around animals and horses especially.
Everything that has ever happened bad in my life, I went to my auntie's and I rode a horse and I always felt 100% better. I've always been like connected to it. Like maybe I don't dress how like a cowgirl is supposed to dress, but I mean like I'm a leggings and hoodie, big shirt girl, 100%. But I've always known that I'm supposed to be there.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. And it's amazing when you get into that realm too. Like the people that you meet and the connections that remote, you can work in a barn nearby and like those kind of connections that you might not find those people if you aren't in that exact space of like connections with people that are like-minded. So that is really exciting.
I know, I'm pretty excited.
And so is pretty the course excited. Just starting in September and it runs the full year?
Yeah, it's just a year. It's not like super expensive and it's just like a certificate.
Okay.
So I'm thinking like after either I'll go back and I'll do another program because there's a bunch of programs into just under that thing. But I was like, it'd be like, I don't know, there's one about being like a farrier. There's one about like... There's a lot of trades and stuff because, I mean, it's old agricultural technology school. So there's a lot of trades and stuff, but maybe we'll see. I'm just going to go through this year, see what if I like it, and then that's kind of my plan. Then hopefully get a job somewhere. So,
yeah, in a barn.
Yeah,
in a barn. Where you want to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I want to be. That's all I ever want to be.
Oh, that's so cool. I met this girl when we were in Nicaragua, and she is a passionate with horses too and always worked on like in farms and stuff with animals, but she was traveling for a while and she ended up landing up at this beautiful barn where they have like 17 horses, and she's like just sort of like helping, kind of like it's like an exchange of services, so you get to live and eat for free in exchange for like helping in the barn and being part of like eventually got to be like one of the riders that like took people on trails and did like beach runs and things like that, like beautiful.
Oh wow.
And now she like runs it, like she's like one of the people that like take and just taken over the whole thing, so it's pretty cool. Oh, you never know where that passion can lead you, you know. Yeah,
so no, that's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm just like, animals have a way to connect to the heart and the soul and really bring a lot of healing, so I'm really excited for you.
Yeah,
that's awesome. On another note, what are you drinking today?
Well, because I got a frat. I got my Starbucks frat.
Amazing.
I haven't had one in a really long time. And I was like, I needed a treat today.
Yeah.
So I got a little vanilla bean frat with caramel.
Oof, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sweet, but I was like, I've been on like this health roll lately. And I was just like, you know what? Treat.
You know what? I'm doing a podcast. I need a drink. I'm getting a treat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What about you?
Oh, I don't have anything too fancy. No fraps. I'm living in the forest, basically, in the UK. So there's a lot of herbs here. The lady has a lot of herbs. Ooh. So I just have some herbal, like basically water, some lemon, ginger, and fresh mint from like their little plant. So.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice. Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds very like calming. Like
it is. It is quite calming. I feel like the rest of the world right now is so, so hot. Like, especially back home where you are from Canada, like 34 degrees, one of the high, like crazy tides we never get back home.
Yeah.
Where I am, it's like 18 degrees and drizzling. So it's like, it kind of feels like fall. Kind of.
Yeah.
So,
I actually, I mean, I'm such a winter girl myself that I'm like, this heat is driving, it makes me miserable. I hate it so much. Like, it's just like, I'm good at like 25. Like 25, yes. I'm like, I got this.
Yes.
And then, but, oh my gosh, and like, we just don't have any AC, so I have like 3 fans blowing on me at all times. I'm so hot. But we're hoping we're going to get a little AC unit.
Are you?
And
that makes a big difference.
It's too hot. And like, it's like, it is a heat wave. Like, it's most likely not going to get like this again. But it's like, it's just like, because it was raining for a little bit, but now it's like just all dry again. And it's like, and so it's kind of really, it's a lot. And a lot of things were shut down for a while because like water restrictions.
Yeah.
Because someone broke like a pipeline for one of the biggest ones that run through this town and all the town. So it's like kind of a big deal. So we were on water restrictions. We're still on it technically, but I mean, I'm still going to shower, but
yeah, I'm still going to get that sweaty off me.
Yeah, I was like, they're like, reduce your showers, don't do laundry. I'm like, I can't live like that. I'm okay.
I'll definitely be having a shower.
Yeah, I'll definitely be having a shower.
Yeah, that's an extreme for Calgary. Like, those of you who are not from that area, it can be, I was talking to my friend of mine who's in Saskatchewan, which is close to you guys, and in June, they had their coldest temperature in 127 years, and that was in June. And now in July, it's up to like 34 degrees. So it's like the pendulum swing of the weather is just all over the map. And it's it's like very emotional weather.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me just, like I don't like being hot. I don't like being sweaty. I don't like being sticky and like all these things. And I'm just like, I would love a fall.
Yeah.
Fall and nice winter. Fall. I love like. It's so weird because, you know, you hear people about like seasonal depression and everything like that. And a lot of them, it happens to them in winter because it's so gloomy and dark and everything where it's like, I'm the complete opposite.
Really?
Because like, of course, like I'm like, I think it's also more like of a guilty thing because when it's the summertime and I'm like in my bed, because I'm a homebody, it's like, like then I feel guilty and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I should go outside. I should go on a walk. I should go on a, like, you know, I should do something. But in the wintertime, I have all of the excuses to just be in my bed and do my little crafts that I do and just, you know, I'm just, like,
it's,
of course.
It's like a full outdoors permission slip.
Yes. Like, yeah.
You get to stay in bed for 6 months.
Yes. That's, yeah. But in the summer, I'm just like, oh, I should do this and stampede and I'm going on Saturday, which will be really fun. But it's like, I don't know. I just like being home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does feel like you should be doing something. I feel like when it's especially hot outside, you're like, oh, I should be going, you know, doing something activity-based. But the wintertime, it's like, oh, yeah, I get a good book, sit by the fire, like cozy up in your like most coziest clothes. It doesn't matter. It's like,
yeah, okay. No, it doesn't matter. I don't have to feel guilty at all.
Yeah. Yeah. All the permission has been given to you in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and because people, I feel like back home too, we're not used to this kind of weather. 34 degrees is not something we would typically have. So nobody has AC. Mm-hmm. I mean, very few people I know have AC. So you just have to bear the absolute the heat, you know?
Oh, I can't. Yeah. Well, because we've had, I don't remember, like, the last house we lived in, we had AC. I'm pretty sure all the houses we lived in before did, but I think it's also, like, I don't know if I'm, okay, the town or whatever, Calgary is, like, they have a lot of, like, older houses, where a lot of older houses don't have AC. Or, like, the newer houses that cost, like, $8 million have AC. And there's no really good in between there.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But but it's okay. I don't know. I like it. And it's also don't really know. I just work. I work.
Yeah, at least
and
you work in an AC spot too, like Starbucks has AC, so you know, at least you have that.
Yeah, it is. At least I do have that. At least I do have that. I do have the nice AC and everything, and like I know anytime me and my boyfriend go out, we, like, the blasting AC. I'm like, I will not be hot in your, because he has, like, leather seats.
Oh, those are really difficult in the heat. So does
my other friends. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even deal with it. But yeah.
Yeah. Nothing quite like leather in the summer and the winter. They're either icicle, like you're sitting on ice cubes, or you're sitting on, like, hot coals. Like, there's no in between.
No, there is really no in between, like, at all. Oh, I don't know. Man. I like being cold. I don't know. It's like my thing. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. And then you like are good for the winter, because I feel like winter can last very long and can drag on for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you're not like ready for it to like, you know, anxious for it to leave, you're like, okay, it's fine. I get more time to just cuddle up my bed. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like weirdly, like I feel like my bed is also like totally my place. Like it's like, it's super important to me. I'm just very much someone who's been like, who needs their bed, and like, I need to rot. I need to be alone. I'm very someone who needs their alone space, because and also like weirdly, like I can control everything. Like this room is all my control. I can do whatever I want. I can do, well, whatever I want, you know, means, but like, I can like, can't just go paint the walls, but I mean like I can do what I want. I can control. I can, that's why, like, I love my bed. Do anything.
It's like you can control, like, the atmosphere, right? You can control, like, how the feeling it feels. I feel like, you know, sometimes the house can be so chaotic. I know, like, we both have, you have a lot, come from a large family. I have a large family. And there can just be a lot. And sometimes it's nice to just have that place of just almost, like, serenity, where you can just kind of light a candle, you know, just be on your own, read a book, like, do your craft.
Exactly.
You can just have that space of just, like, almost, like, restorative, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like, I have four siblings, both my parents, and, like, I mean, my, like, Sydney's out in Toronto, Kayla's in Calgary, but, like, it's never just, like, it's never just me, like, my stepsister and my brother. Like, it's never just, like, us. Like, mom's either on the phone with Sydney or on the phone with Michaela, on the phone with my grandma. Like, it's kind of, it's a lot of, like, weird, like, about my house is, like, kind of depends on where you step into. It's, like, a different, like, kind of feeling. Like, it can be very positive. I can go upstairs, and I'm, like, oh, everyone's kind of in a good mood. Okay, like, you know, a lot of positive vibes, or I can, like, or it can be, like, the complete opposite, or in my room is whatever vibe I want it to be.
Right.
And, you know, like, it's, like, if I'm mad, my room's just gonna be mad. Because, like, I mean, my mom is, like, me, my mom, my sisters are very much people who, like, we feed off each other's energy. Mm-hmm. We feed off, like, the, like, if one of us is upset, the other one's upset. If one of us is mad, the other one is mad. Or madder. Right. Because you're mad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, we have a lot, it's, my house is a lot of energy. We have a lot of energy. Right. Yeah. It's a lot sometimes.
You get to set your own energy and your own intentions and your own space and have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it hasn't always been like that. Like, you've had to share a room before, so you know how amazing it is to have your own space, because you're like,
you know
what it's like to, like, you know, you be in a great mood and then you got a sibling who's not in a great mood, but you're sharing the same room. So now
it is. Like, I think I was, when we were living in a townhouse years ago, me and Tyson were sharing a room. I think I was in grade, I want to say 6 or 7, and Tyson was in, like, grade 1 or 2. So I had to share my room with my little brother, which was, like, whatever. I mean, like, I didn't really mind all that much because Sydney was older, so she got her own room. And then Michaela got the basement, and then we moved into our other, and then, but me and Sydney, like, our whole childhood, like, we'd always sneak into each other's bed, and we shared a room for a really long time together in our old house, and, yeah, so it's just, it's very normal to me, but, like, now, excuse me, I can't go back. Yeah. Like, Sydney will come here, or Michaela will come here and stay with us or whatever, and I'm like, please get out of my room. Like, I can't deal with it. Like, I'm just,
Don't wreck my space.
Don't wreck it. I know. I know, and I'm also, like, I'm pretty bad OCD, too, so I'm like, if it's my mess, I'm gonna be okay with it, but if it's, like, everything's perfect, and I know that you grab some, or not, like, I know, like, oh my gosh, I felt like she grabbed my mascara, not like that, but, like, all my stuff is everywhere because you were using it, it's just like, I don't like it. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's funny. The things you realize about yourself as you get older, when you actually have space to realize, oh, like, these things kind of, like, do affect me or bother me or make me better, or I'm sure you realize now, like, having your own space, it's like, it's makes you better. A better part of you gets to shine because you have those space to kind of, like, vacate to and, you know,
be alive. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more quieter at home now, which is sad, but it's, like, it's good, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's changed, right? We're
falling into a routine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think initially it can feel like a big change. Well, not it is a huge change for everybody, right? And then the things just start to feel like, I guess, normal in their own new way, you know?
Yeah.
And you get your own room because so many people in the house, which is an added bonus, you know?
I mean especially like after like my parents got divorced or whatever when I was about like 7, like I was used, it's weird though in a way because like my dad was there but he wasn't there, like he was at work and my mom was home, and he was always at work or he was at the gym or he was in the garage, and like for some reason like I thought for a really long time like that's kind of how a dad is supposed to do. Like, he's supposed to go home, he's supposed to have dinner, and then he goes out into the garage and has a smoke and does whatever the hell he does in the garage.
Yeah.
And then he kisses us goodnight, and that's it. That's, like, all I really remember from back then is, like, that was how most days, nights went. And then after they got divorced, and then it was just my mom. But in a weird way, like, it changed everything because of what happened, but it also was, like, I felt a lot safer with my mom because I was like, because she was there all the time. She's never not there, you know?
Right.
And then my stepdad came in, Alan. And then I was like, oh, he doesn't do that. Like, he comes home from work. Of course, he takes like a 20-minute on the couch or whatever, but we have dinner. Mom loves to go on mental health walks. We do all of these things. Like, and like, he's so like active in our life and like all that stuff, and it's just a really really weird big change.
So many like changes that you've experienced. Speaking of that, maybe we can dive into that. Like, I know I always say this to people, like trying to pick the one thing in life where everything changed, and sometimes the older you get, the more of those moments you have where you're like, oh, this changed everything and this changed everything, and so it can be hard to pick one. So when you like reached out to me and you're like, I want to share my story, I was like, okay, like I know parts of your story, but I have no idea where we're going today. And I'm like, I mean, it could be anything. There's so many parts, you know? So, I think you've obviously had some time to like think about it and sit with it about the time in your life when everything started to change or everything changed for you.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely when my parents got divorced. For sure. Which I'm pretty sure it's like pretty common, you know, like that really changed a lot, you know, like divorce is a big thing, but my dad's an alcoholic and, you know, he was sober for 11 years. I never knew nothing about this for a very long time. Like I was 7. What do I know? Right. Like, I don't know anything. And then things started to just get a little bit weird and and I remember this one night, my mom's friend, Sarah's husband, Justin, he came home, my dad came home, and Michaela was there, and he was just being drunk and kind of just being a jerk. And so my sister had to, like, put him to bed and then get us out of the house. And my mom was coming home. I can't remember if she was there or not, but I do remember Michaela having to kind of pick up that role and to, like, you know, protect us. And so I remember I was walking outside the house going to, like Sarah's house with her husband, Justin, and my mom and everything. And I saw my dad's truck tire slashed. I didn't, like, they were, like, broken. Like, they were flat or whatever. And I remember, like, I remember crouching down and I was just screaming and crying because I was like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, because, you know, you watch movies as a kid and whatever, and, you know, a tire's flat or it looks something like there's something wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that was a really big moment. I think that kind of, like, changed a lot. Like, I was very much like a daddy's girl, 100%. Like, I hated anything my mom cooked me. I always wanted to get, like, I always wanted my dad to make my noodles, and I wanted him to paint my nails, and I wanted, you know, him to do everything. And then to go from, like, literally, like, I remember also a story my grandma always says to me. She's like, when I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I got hurt at school. I got, like a scratch or something on my knee, and they called my grandma because I was freaking out, and my grandma came, and she was like, she's like, here, can I help you? Can I help you? And then she, and then I was apparently crying, screaming for my dad. And so my dad came all the way from work to put a Band-Aid on me and give me a kiss and go all the way home. And so, like, I was always daddy's girl. Like, I was the youngest girl. I have two older sisters, a little brother. And it's always been like that.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely the moment, because it led to so many things after that. That, like, it's hard because, like, I don't blame him for like, I've had a lot of therapy and a lot of, like, you know, things about it. But it's, like, sometimes I wonder if that's what led to so many things in my, that has happened to me since that, you know?
Yeah. And so you're a 7-year-old, Sav, you come outside and you see the tires slashed. And is that when everything... dramatically changed for you guys? Is that when things really turned?
Yeah, from, like, what I remember is that, yeah. And then they got divorced and my mom had to buy a little condo because it was me, Michaela, Sydney, Michaela's boyfriend, and Tyson with us, because Michaela's ex-boyfriend didn't come from a very good home, so he lived with us. And so we had this little condo. We were in there for, like, I want to say, like, 5 weeks until my mom bought the townhouse. But it, like, yeah, that's when everything just kind of went a little bit downhill. Like, he just went off. Like, my dad just, like, he couldn't stop. And I know it's a disease, and it's something that I've had to, like, really, like, I don't know, deal with. Because, like, I felt, like, always... with my dad and stuff, I was always the one who was, like, saying, Mom, what are you doing? Like, Dad, like, he's a good guy, da, 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 and all of these things, and always bringing him back into my life, into my family's life and stuff like that, because he knows that I'm sensitive and that I'm easily pulled, and like, and he knew that, like, he could pretty much get whatever he wanted from me because I was his little girl. And that pretty, like, I've learned, it's probably only been, I'm 19 now, probably only been three or four years that I've really had to, like, realize that, like, I'm like, I gotta keep my I keep my distance now, but, like, before, like, I was starting to, like, kind of see, like, what I was doing to my family, and I know it's not my fault now, but, like, you know, because he would call me, and then I would tell my mom, or I would tell Cindy, and then he would call them, and then, even though he had kind of no right or respect to, like, do that,
right,
you know, like, he had no right to, like, call us to do any things until he fixed his crap, like, but I always just gave in all the time, and it's really hard, and it's, like, it's been, like, a really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, yeah, like, this other kind of huge thing happened, and I haven't talked to him since February. now because I was like, I can't, because it, like, anytime I call him or anything like that, it's almost like, how do I explain this? Like, almost like, you know how, like, divorced parents, they go back and forth or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, back and forth from houses. And, you know, like, sometimes, like, you kind of hear whatever that when they go back to their mom's house, they're all kind of crazy and crazed and out of routine and stuff like that. And that's how I feel. Like, it was, like, I felt like I was, like, it just messed up myself for, like, a week. And I was, like, and then I'd get angry and then I would just get mad and, like, just all of it together.
Just the complexities of the relationship, like being so close to your dad, like you said, and being like, he's doing your nails for you and he's coming home from work to put a band-aid on you. And like, he's in a lot of ways, it sounds like he seemed to be like a safe place and a place that, you know, like you could rely on that consistency. And then all of a sudden it just, like, it's like something clicked and it just turned. And now you're with somebody, an entirely different person. And speaking of energies, like you spoke about, think about your home and coming home and like protecting your own space. You know, sometimes I refer to this, you know, you come home and you can tell, like, when your mom is mad, you don't even have to see your mom or your dad. You just know, you can just feel it in the air. You're like, something's wrong. And I think as a child, as much as you might not know what's going on, you can pick up on that. So your dad all of a sudden changing, being your safe place, to now not being the same person, not even having the same energy or the same, like, look in his eyes in a lot of ways, right? It's like something's changed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. That's, yeah, it's definitely like, probably it was the hardest thing. And it was also like, yeah, it's weird though. Cause like when it first happened and, you know, I talked to my aunties and stuff like that, like, you know, my dad, like a lot of people saw the really good part of him. And so did I.
Yeah.
And for a long time, for a very long time, I didn't really see him being awful. Like Michaela had, Cindy had, but he never really treated me like that, or he never really treated like he never really got drunk around us for a really long time. Until I feel like maybe, I think it was maybe grade 8 maybe. I have a really bad time with times, but a really hard time with times, and I think I was around then, I think it was the first time we were, him and his ex-girlfriend, we were in Invermere, and he was like, he kind of goes through these different stages, and he'll be like really lovey and touchy, and then he'll get kind of funny, and then he'll get kind of hungry, and then he'll get kind of, you know, whatever, and then he'll get kind of mean, and that was the first time that, like, he was just acting so weird. Like, I've seen him being drunk before then, but this is the first time where I was like, okay, what that, like, stop. Like, it was weird, and it was just, like, made me feel so, like, yeah, uncomfortable. And, like, but, I mean, I was thankful to have, like, my dad's girlfriend there at the time, because even though she was pretty timid and she was pretty, like, she didn't really wear all the pants all the time. Like, my dad was definitely, you know, but like, I feel like she would have done something if it had to be done, you know, like she would have taken us away if something were to have escalated.
Yeah.
But like, and then it was Christmas, I think 2022, and my grandma, so my dad's mom, and everyone was here, and he was drunk, and he was like, just being an ass and seeing, like, because my grandma was texting his ex-girlfriend, and then he saw that, and he was yelling at my grandma, and so, and then Cindy, like, sat him on the table and was like, this is how you're making me feel, all of these things, they're both crying, and I've never seen my dad cry, ever, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I kept on getting mad at Cindy, I was like, what the hell are you doing, like, stop talking to him, like, stop telling him how you feel, because you're just making it worse, he's drunk, he's like, I just was so scared. And then my mom was luckily, and Alan was lucky enough to, like, be in Calgary at the time, and ran up to the apartment we were staying at and just took us. And then I had to, like, put him to bed. And I was, like, I was, like, 15, 16 years old. And I was, like, And you know, like when your dad, like when you grow up to be a little girl, your dad is this huge, huge hero, manly, you know, like tough guy. Yeah. Like for, I feel like with a lot of people, like your dad is like your dad, like you're like, you know, it's just a weird relationship.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it, and seeing a guy that I looked up to so small, I was like, oh, that changed. That was also another thing that like, was like, oh my, that I like, I didn't even know what to do when I was crying. And then my sister kept on bringing like my little brother into his bedroom. And I was like, no, like, get the hell out of here. Get Tyson out of here. I don't want to see him see that. Like, yeah. I don't want him to be exposed to anything like that. So I had to deal with it. And then I remember my mom came and got us, and we got into the elevator, and I just screamed. I just bloody screamed. Because I was just like, I was so like, I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And yeah, that was really hard. That was really hard.
It's almost like the 15-year-old Savannah was doing what you saw your sister do when you were 7. Like that moment where she's like, Michaela's stepping in, and now that's you. You're in that place where it's like, oh my gosh, now that I'm having to do that. Mm-hmm. And even seeing Tyson, who's, you know, quite a bit younger than you, being like that maybe 7-year-old in that same position, being like, this guy that you all love and admire, and he's your hero, he's your dad, is now somebody that maybe you don't feel safe around.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm also very much the type of person who's like, I'm very protective. I'm very protective of my people. I've always been like that. Like, I think I remember what I was, I might have been like 10 or something like that. And some people were giving like, just sitting like hell at school. And I was just yelling about it. I was just like, I'm going to beat them up. I'm going to yell at them, whatever. And I was like, I was, because like, me, my mom, Sydney, and Michaela, we're like a unit. Like, it is us against this freaking world. And in some ways, you know, it can be a good thing. In some ways, it can be hard. Like, it's like, you know, I think it was hard to open up to other people and to like, kind of like, I don't know, because, but me and Michaela and Sydney and everything, like, we're so protective of each other. Like, I would do anything. Like, 110%. And I remember one time, again, my mom was getting yelled at by some like just jerk of a guy at Genesis, the rec center. And he was like, and she came in the car and she was upset and she was crying. And I was like, what happened? She was like, this guy. And then I literally almost jumped out of the car to go yell at him. I was like 11. I was like, what am I going to do? But I was just, I'm so protective of people, and I'm so protective of my people that like, I, like, when she kept on bringing Tyson into the room, even though Sydney is, like, two years older than me, I was like, I don't want you to even see this, even though I'm younger. Or, you know, I definitely don't want Tyson, because I was like, I would rather just have all the pain. I'd rather want to see everything and hold it all on me so that no one else can be affected.
Right.
Because, like, that's really a big deal to me. Yeah. Like, it's a big deal, like, when I see my mom, like, upset, or my sister's upset or something like that, like, I get to this, like, I have to protect them, and, like, I get to this angry stage. Like, I'm emotional, but I'm not, like, I never cry. I barely cry. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, I kind of wish I could cry a little bit, because I just don't. Because, like, I will get sad, and I will maybe have, like, a 10-minute cry, and then I'm just mad. I'm just angry. And then I'm like, I'm going to do whatever the hell I can do to, like, protect and, like, just be... like, just have all the pain. I just want all the pain. I don't want anyone else to feel pain.
Take it all. Yeah.
Yeah, and take it all. And I've learned that I can't do that. It's not healthy for me, but it's, like, it's hard, because I don't like seeing my people upset, and I don't like seeing my people hurt, and especially by a guy that I felt that I kept on bringing in, because he always got me in. So that's how I felt. Like, I always felt like it's my fault. It's my fault that my brother has no idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
He just knows that daddy's sick. My sister is like trying to protect us, and like all of these things. And it's like, I felt for a really long time that it was all my fault. Cause I was like, cause he would call me and I'd be like, oh, hey dad. And then he was like, we should go out for dinner. And then I'll tell my mom. And then I'd be like, oh my God, if I don't go for the dinner, like he's going to hurt himself. He's going to do something. He's going to drink. He's going to whatever. So I would just always go back in to him. And it was, It's been really hard.
Sounds like, yeah, you've really taken that protective role, whether it's like protecting your mom and your siblings, or protecting even your dad, who's really sick and like feeling like, you know, his wellness depends on you, if it means meeting up with him or seeing him or talking to him, being like, no, you're holding all of that weight. You just want to protect the people that you care about. And
yeah.
Even though I think, you know, realizing that your dad's sick and it's not something that you can do, and it's not something that anyone needs to do. It's something that only he can do. And that can be really hard, you know, when you see somebody really ill and you want to like help them make it get better, realizing that the only one that can is themselves. But it can really be hard as a kid, like, and seeing somebody you adored so much and how it's impacted you for the last, I don't know, what, been 10 years or more, I guess. And how it impacts you as a today, you know, in your life today, and just still wanting to protect.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, it's also very like, like, I don't know. I just feel like I've realized though, like after this past incident, that I was like, I'm blocking. I have to. I can't do this. Like, it's ruining. It's like, it's too heavy for me. And like every day, of course, I think about it. I'm like, should I, like, whatever. And I'm like, I always think like, because I mean, I have anxiety and I have like OCD and stuff. But it's like, my brain will be like, if I don't call him, like, what if he dies? What if we get into a car accident? What if he always, like, I'm never gonna get a chance to like fix it? Or when I get married, is he gonna be there? I have all of these things, but I'm like, I'm 19 and he's 3 years to 50. Right. Like, there's a big age gap there, and there's a big maturity gap there. And I think it's like, I really have to realize that, like, it's not up to me. It's not up to me.
No.
But it's taken a lot of people and a lot of medicine to make me believe that. Because it's like, I'm a lot of help on myself. Like, I mean, after that happened, like, I was pretty messed up, like, my entire high school career. Like, you know, I was just not, like, I don't know, like, I think I was kind of mean because I didn't want people to get close to me because I knew that I thought they were going to go away. Or, like, you know, my best friend since I was a kid, we stopped being friends at 16. I mean, we're friends now, kind of, but, like, you know, we had this big blowout, and I was just like, and for me, like, I just always thought that they were going to go away. And, like, it was also really hard because, like, her dad was, like, I really looked up to him, too. I was like, he was, like, my second dad and stuff. But I was very jealous of her family. I was very jealous of how she looked. I was very jealous that, like, you know, she was really smart and she had a good family and that, like, you know, they were really, like, Christian people and all of these things. And I was like, why me? Like, why do I get, like, you know, the crap end of the stick? Like, and it was hard, too. I think a lot of, like, our friendship was, like, it was really hard to relate. Like, it was really hard for her to relate to me. And so I think I'd get really angry. And then I would kind of get mean. And I was, like, so I just get so frustrated why people don't understand how I, like, why
feel.
It was me. Yeah, exactly. And I was, like, you know, I've pushed a lot of people away. I think that's kind of what I do. It's like, I'll be best friends with someone for so long, or I'll be friends, or I'll have a boyfriend or whatever. And I'm just like, I think I like to self-sabotage myself so I can hurt myself before they can hurt me. And that is something that I realized. Yeah. Realized that. But I mean, I'm in a really good, healthy relationship with my boyfriend now. And I love him and he's my forever. But yeah, like, I think before then though, like, again, like, kind of, like, talking with you in the podcast and stuff and sharing it with others, I was, like, that took me very long time to be, like, you know, not to self-sabotage myself. And, like, you know, people are going to hurt people. Or people hurt, like, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
That is, like, and it's so true. Like, for some reason, like, sometimes, and like, when I think back to, like, being in high school and stuff, like, I just can't believe how judgy and, like, kind of just, like, oh, I thought I was all that. And really, I was never that girl, but it was such, like, a wall I put around myself so that no one could see who I really was. Like, I doubt that, like, my best friends during high school and stuff really knew
right
what was going on, because I always had this like, oh yeah, I'm tough, like, you know, kind of like, I don't cry, like, you know, no one can touch me.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think I have a little bit of some of that, just but like I feel like a lot more like I can actually be myself and I can be vulnerable. I've had a very hard time being like vulnerable and open to people.
Yeah.
Like I'll tell anyone that they want to know, but I'm sure I tell like the surface level of what happened, but how it makes me feel, I never say. I like right. I've never, it's hard, a hard time for me to say to people who are like closest to me.
Right.
And yeah.
That is like what you just said there about, again, and that protective thing, like you're wearing the mask into high school to protect yourself, right? Because if you're going to judge something, they may as well judge the mask, because that's not your heart. And it feels like less of being judged about you. But what I find really interesting, and like I feel like a lot of us will go through our whole life and not realize and understand what you just said, where it's like you self-sabotage, you hurt yourself by pushing people away before, so you hurt yourself before they can.
Yeah.
That is some deep insight there, girl. is to realize like it's a way of protecting yourself. This friendship that you had, it wasn't because you didn't care for her, that you didn't like have so many things in common and so much history and so many things that probably brought you together. It's that if your dad, the one that brought you into the world, could cause so much pain, then what could a friend do? And so to end that, or to whatever happened there, to put that away so that they couldn't do to you what you received from someone you cared about the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like, I mean, I think it was a lot like, with that whole like friendship, I was like, I said some pretty stupid crap. And she was like, okay, we can't be friends anymore. Which was like really hurt. It really hurt. Like it was like, you know, she was my best friend for 16 years.
Wow.
Like, and all of these things, but like, I think I reached out after a year it happened, or at least 6 months, or before, after 6 months after it happened, because I was like, you know, she probably just needs time, like, whatever. You know, I was being stupid. I always had boyfriends. I always, like, whatever. And I was like, I don't care. But the more I grew up, I was like, it almost, like, breakup friendships hurt way more than boyfriends. Like, like, you know, they see you in every season, those friends. And, like, like, you know, it was just, that was super hard for me. But we patched things up now. It's just, we're just not that close, which is fine. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. But, it was just, I definitely push, I don't do it anymore, but like just in like past relationships and stuff like this, like I was like, it's almost like I wanted drama to happen so that like, I was like, I self-sabotaging myself, because I was like, not like I would create drama, but it was like, it was just like the, you know, my brain would say all these things and I was like, it's never gonna work out. Like, I mean, all the other guys that I dated other than my boyfriend right now were pretty not cool guys. And like, you know, I dated this one guy, you know, kind of following your dad's footsteps kind of guy. He was 18, I was 15. And he was mixed. He was the same mix as I am, but he was way darker than I am. And you know, he was 18, he had a big rose tattoo, and he was all tattooed, and he was a boxer, and, you know, like, all of, like, the, oh my god, things that I thought that were, like, cool.
Yeah.
Because I had daddy issues, but I was, like, but, I mean, his story is a whole different story, but, like, his, like, he grew up pretty messed up, too, and, like, it was weird, though, because that protective thing came again, because he had younger siblings. He had his sibling that was my age, and then he was 18, and he had these two little girls, and they were so cute. They were so cute, and I think I honestly dated him for the most reason, just to protect his family. Like, honestly. Like, I feel like that was the biggest reason why I stayed with him, because I was like, these, like his mom wasn't, she wasn't very active, and like her, his dad was in and out of jail, and Damien was very much like a, like he had to be a father role into his siblings' lives because there was five kids, and you know, like it was just, it wasn't a good situation. And I think like, sure, I thought, oh my gosh, he's so hot, he's a boxer, man, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, I remember this one time his little brother got really upset about something, and then Damien was yelling at him outside the room, and I was like, oh, I should take the girls into his room. So I took them into like Damien's room because they were in the hallway, and then one of the, his little sister looked at me, he's like, do you know that my daddy's in jail? And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, she's like, she's six. I was like, I have to fix this. And then it was Christmas time when I was dating him, and probably bought, and I was working at McDonald's at the time, like $300 worth of Christmas presents for them that all said like from Santa or from me, because his mom didn't do anything for it. And then he was like, he told me that the presents they got were only from me. They didn't get anything else because they didn't, they couldn't afford it. And I was like, but I had to. I could not imagine these little girls waking up on Christmas and not having a present from Santa. And I was like, I had to do it. I don't know. And then I remember one time, like, he was, like, they went to the food bank a lot. And because they were only on, like, government pay. And I remember one time they dropped off this whole thing for Thanksgiving and stuff. And they had a beautiful Thanksgiving dinner. And then again, like, Christmas, they didn't really have a lot. And I remember just kind of buying like a few groceries for them, because I was like, I can't, like, I didn't even really care about him that much anymore. It was more just like his family. And then my mom really forbidded me. She literally said those words. She forbid me to date him because he was like a piece of crap. But, and then she found out that I was dating him and the whole thing happened. But it was like, I don't even know if she even knows to this day that it wasn't really him. It was like his family that I had to protect.
Right.
And I was like 15. Going, I was like
15 years old, you're buying these kids presents, but maybe part of you saw, like, though your circumstances may have looked different, there's maybe parts of you that you saw in those little girls of like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, you know, obviously those little girls were sadder, disconnected from their dad for reasons that they didn't understand.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in similarities to, like, you know, distance that you felt and reasons you didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates this compassion and like putting yourself into a place where you're with somebody, not because it's even someone you want to be with, but because you want to be the protector again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you've got that, that energy. Have you ever seen, I'm sure you've seen Inside Out, but the recent one with anger, you know, it's like, he's coming in, like he's in a charge, you know?
That is me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Coming
no,
in.
No, my mom said that too. But yeah, it was, that was such a, just a weird, that was just a whole thing. And it was, and that was the only other time that I ever had that feeling again. Because like, it could have been from that, you know, the girls were half Jamaican and half white, like I am, one First Nation too. And they had way more, like, prettier, darker skin than I do. But, like, you know, she had these, like, beautiful curly hair, and she always looked at me. And I remember one time this guy was being super creepy to the little one. She was, like, six. He kept on following her around the house, like, not around, like, around the cul-de-sac. And I remember she called me. She didn't call nobody else. She called me. And I was, like, and then I was, like, oh, my gosh. And I was, like, trying to calm her down and telling her, like, you know, you have three big brothers that, like, got you, you know. And, like, I'm always here and all these things. And I just, like, still, like, well, weirdly enough, I actually live a block away from them now in this new house, a couple blocks away. And I actually saw one of them the other day, but I didn't say anything. So I was like, huh, it's been, like, a long time. But I was just, she seemed to be okay. But, yeah, those, it was weird. And I was, like, also, like, towards, like, friends, too, like, very protective over my friends. Like, I think, I don't think of, like, any single one of my friends' boyfriends ever. I was like, I can look at you. I can see it. I was like, you know, like because, you know, I've been through, like, a lot of boyfriends, too. And I can tell. I can tell by the minute I look at this guy, I'm like, no, I don't like you. And then I'm kind of a bitch because I'm like, oh, sorry, excuse my language. I'm kind of, like, just a jerk because I know what you're going to do. But I can't control because I can't control other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's just, it's just part of me, and it's really hard to let people live their own life, because I just want to help, and I don't know if sometimes it is helping or if it's just me wanting to be in control of something, but
yeah
maybe
parts of you can see like bits of things that remind you, like you say, you can pick it up on somebody, or you can mm-hmm. like I have a sensitivity to certain things too, and I can mm-hmm. usually pick it up quickly and be like, that's not a safe place to be with those people or that person specifically, you mm-hmm. know. Just like your radar goes off. I think as a girl we have to really lean into those things where it's like it's not something mm-hmm. to be ignored, but when you have mm-hmm. that sensitivity to go like, oh yeah, something, there's like a radar and I don't know why, but it's going off, and I need to like not put myself in that space because it feels invulnerable in a not a very safe way.
Yeah.
And then I've had that with my kids too, where I'm just like, yeah, you just, because of what we've gone through, right? Because of what we've gone through in life, we pick up on these energies or these frequencies. We're just like, you know, that other people might not notice because they've not gone through what we've gone through. But because we're sensitive, mm-hmm. so it's like it's triggering to those past experiences that we've gone through, which, you know, makes sense because of what you've gone through with your dad and like the years of sifting through, like wanting to have a relationship and then, you know, getting lured in and then, it's not safe. Mm-hmm. And then wanting to have a relationship and wanting to protect and wanting to make sure he's okay, you know?
Yeah.
All the while, sometimes we can forget, like, are we okay? Which I think of what you mentioned in the beginning is like seeing a therapist and getting medicated, like these things to help you mm-hmm. understand what's actually going on here. And like it sounds like it helped create a lot of clarity mm-hmm. for you to like create a healthy space for you so you can be like this growing woman who doesn't have this torment, if you will. I don't know if that would be the right word, but
no, yeah, exactly. And it's like, and like, yeah, when it like when I came back to like when I said like that changed my life, is then I really thought like every man in my life or whatever, like I was like hurt in grade 8 by mm-hmm. a peer, by a boyfriend at the time, and he like raped me, and I was like, I didn't know it though. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it at the time because I knew what sex and I knew all those what those things were. Yeah. But when it happened, I remember not telling anybody for like 6 months, and I just said it to my mom. I just was mm-hmm. like, oh yeah. And then I was like, she's like, what? Like, and I was just like, oh yeah. Like, cause at first it was super weird. Like it happened and then he went home and then I was trying to call him and I was trying to do all these things. And then he just stopped talking to me. Stopped. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was like, oh my God, like what did I do wrong? I thought this was all my fault. I didn't think it was SA until I thought about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was awful. And the first time I actually had, like, you know, I consented to it, I blacked it all out. Don't even remember a single thing. I know what happened, but I blacked it out. And I was like, and I thought, like, a lot of that was, like, the reason why, like, I thought that was all I was good for. Hmm. Like, you know, for a really long time. And I was like, and then it happened again in grade 8, 9. And, you know, I got that guy into jail and all these things, and which was good, but it was like, and then I just wanted to end it. Like, I wanted to just, I felt like that was all I was good for, all I was good for. And, you know, for a really long time, like, I remember in grade 6, I was like, I was always known with the girl with the big butt. I was always mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, Savannah with the big butt and all these things. And I was just like, I was always like sexualized, and then it happened. And then I was like, and then I slept with a bunch of guys who like, were just, I knew what they wanted, but I didn't care because I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's all I'm worth. Or that's all like, that's all I'm supposed to do. Right. And like, not my family ever made me feel like that's what it was at all, but it was just like, that's just what, like in my body, that's just what I thought. Because after that happened to me, it destroyed everything. It mm-hmm. destroyed, like, my mental health. You know, like, I had, like, 2 suicide attempts, and I had to go to, like, a rehab place for it. And I hated it. It was actually the worst 9 days of my life, but it was needed. Because I saw firsthand that I was, like, I needed help. And then when it happened, my mom kept on saying, like she always said, like, babe, it's not that you want to be gone. It's you want what happened to you and your problems to be gone.
Yeah.
But at first I thought, like, you know, doing that to myself is the only reason I could get out of this, like, guys would stop hurting me. That's all I thought, is that, you know, but, you know, after like another, I had an okay relationship before the one I'm with Griff. And yeah, like I felt like a lot of responsibility to be like, do that with him. And even though I didn't want to, I was like, I'm like, why? Like, there's like, I wasn't very attracted to him. I wasn't very like, I wasn't any of these things, but I still thought that's what I was supposed to do, and that they were going to leave me or whatever, because I wouldn't do it, or I wouldn't, you know, give them what they wanted. Right. And, you know, with my relationship now, like, very consent, like, he's like, we're always on the same page. He's very much the type of guy, like, my mom always says, like, Alan's perfect for me, because he always knows what kind of kiss I want. He always knows if I want, like, a peck or a little, you know. And Griff is, like, the exact same. He knows exactly what I want all the time, which is, he's someone I needed. You know, he come from a really good family, really good values. He grew up, like, in religion, and he's everything to me. But he's so, so gentle, because he knows, like, I've expressed to him what has happened to me in the past, and he was, like, so gentle, and he would never hurt me, like, ever. And, you know, like, after, like, and then I have been, like, physically abused in other relationships, too, and I was, like, and I'm only 19. I was, like, I feel like I've lived, like, eight different lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been hard, but I think I love who I am now. And, of course, like, you know, you're never going to be perfect, and you're never going to, like, always be okay.
Yeah.
But I think I'm getting to that stage in my life where it's, like, I've realized why I did a lot of things and what has happened, but I've learned how to regulate myself and to, you know, not get into that kind of really bad depression and just,
Yeah. Finding yourself on the other end of that, all of that, which I am, like, as you're saying that, I'm so sorry that you've gone through all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm just holding back tears because I just feel sad that you had to endure it.
I know it's hard, and, you know, like, all these things, but it's, you know, in a way, like, it's made me stronger, you know. It's made me kind of know my worth in a way, and know what it's supposed to be treated and how I'm supposed to be treated. And, you know, consent is a really big deal, you know, like, with everything with my dad and, like, being sick and all of these things, like, it's just made me to be really strong. But of course, like, I have a lot of walls built up because of it, 100%, but I'm starting to, like, tear down brick by brick to, like, really be who I am.
And it shows, like, you have a glow about you, Zav, that I haven't seen in your, like, those earlier years, not knowing all the details of what you went through, but knowing the impact of abuse. Like, I'm a victim of abuse when I was in my teens too. And just knowing how that can like really screw up your brain, you know, like the way that you think and what goes on in your head and how your value, your worth, like how you view relationships, how you view physical affection, all of those things. It can be such a huge hill to climb.
Yeah. You know? It really messes you up, like 100%. Yeah. And it's, you know, and I've also had to realize too, is like, you know, some of my friends, like guys have unconsensually like grabbed their butt or something like that. And, you know, I was really like, what the hell? Like, that's nothing compared to what I've been through. Like, you know, and I, again, for like everyone listening, so I was like, it's like, really don't compare your trauma. And that was a big thing again, like in my friendship I was telling you about. And, you know, after some things that happened in her family, I was like, oh, see? Like don't don't compare each other, because it will also, again, not make you look for like a very good friend. And it's like, and you realize that like things, people who will do things to you like that or kiss you unconsensually or do anything like that, like that could damage somebody just as much as anything worse. Yeah. And that is something that I've had to really, really realize is that like the smallest thing can change someone else's life. Yeah. But something that's so big happened to me could have the same feeling they like, they could feel the same way I felt, even if it wasn't as, you know, I don't know, as big or as like, you know, I don't really know what the right word is, but like kind of as bad, I guess, as what I did.
Like, what you would, you know, people could, would compare it. And but like you said, like trauma is trauma. Whether you like,
trauma is trauma.
You broke your arm or you broke your femur. You know, some might say like, you know, just because the person with the femurs hurts really bad doesn't mean the person with broken arm doesn't. You know, it's just like,
exactly.
It's like the pain is pain. And one thing I realized too with going, you know, my own kids and what they've gone through, some things you just wish your kids didn't never have to go through, but similar to my own story. And you're just like, you see how they deal with that. And it's so like individualized how we all deal with trauma and how we all deal with pain. And how what that looks like in our view on the world and how we view ourselves in the world. There's just a lot of, I think sometimes we can feel like, well, it wasn't this bad, even as a victim. You know, well, it wasn't that, you know?
Yeah.
And so then you feel like, why do I feel this way? And so that can even put us all into like this, a bit of a shame spot or like hide in the darkness because you feel like, well, this shouldn't affect me that badly because it wasn't that, you know, it's only this.
Yeah.
But to realize that, no, like your pain is pain and whatever... to whatever varying degree it is, like it deserves to be seen and deserves to be find healing through it. Like it's not something you just wish away or, you know, post a note of prayer to it. It's like, no, like it needs space to find healing. And I think that's something that you've done like it really well. It's like you've walked through some traumatic experiences. From 7-year-old Zav to like, you know, high school Zav. And you know, and then found yourself into a space where you realized your value. Like you said, it really taught you your value. And I can see like such incredible strength in you. I just want to tell you that. Like as we're talking, I see just such incredible strength in like how you just like how you see it. You're like, no, but now I see like my value, like I'm with Griffin and I see like how it can look. I have an amazing, you know, dad, Alan, who like has shown me what being a dad can look like. And even just like your dream of having a family and creating that and knowing like that's something you're very passionate about, even though things in your family didn't go the way that maybe a little 7-year-old would have hoped or thought, but like you can still see that the unit of a family is so special, so much so that you want to create your own. Like
exactly,
You've obviously walked through such a journey of healing and health to be able to see that. Because sometimes things that have hurt us the most, we want nothing to do with.
You know, very
the
true.
Idea of a family,
And yeah, exactly,
That is really beautiful. I'm really proud of you for
thank you
doing the work and like just climbing that hill that can feel really slippery. You know,
yes. And like it's been hard, but I've also like, you know, I think from the guys and, you know, people who have hurt me in the past, like they have damaged me enough that like my future is going to have nothing to do with it. And that is something that I've had to realize. I was like, you've pretty much like my entire high school career was the worst 4 years of my life. And like, it was all of these things. And I was like, you know, and also being hurt, like, you know, had ruined a lot of relationships for me too. But to have like healed from that and to be in a very healthy relationship now and like seeing a future with him, and there's just, it's just beautiful. And it's, and I just realized that like, it's taken me a long time, but it's like, you know, the guys and the trauma and whatever, it's like, I can't let it ruin what I have now. Can't do it. I can't, like, again, that's kind of why I haven't talked to my dad, because I was like, you're going to put me right back there. And until you show up my door, having a freaking receipt that you've been sober for 3 years, I'll talk to you. You know, 6 months, I'll talk to you. But, you know, I, I'm, I have to learn to just let it go, because I can't. I'm only 19. I've many years, and yeah. I can't be in that space anymore. So I just have had to learn to like let people prove to you what like that like who they are and stuff, and whether you take that, whether it's good or not. And
yeah, learning yeah, that it's like, okay to create those boundaries for yourself, right? Like it's okay yeah. to say boundaries and around that yeah. protect yourself.
And I've yeah. never really had boundaries, but lately, and I was like, I'm in a great place, you know, I'm working, I'm going to school, I have a great boyfriend, I'm getting my license, I'm doing all the things that I'm like, not like, I was like, I'm like, you know, kind of mantras, like not one person's going to stop me right now. Mm-hmm. And like, especially that one person that yeah. changed everything, yeah. not going to stop me. I'm not going to let it. I can't let it. No,
you got to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause you're like,
it's been really hard. It's been a journey.
I can't even imagine what you've had to mm-hmm. sort through. And like, I think life has a lot of sorting, you know, and
yeah.
And I think it's really brilliant of you to, first of all, do the hard work by seeing a counselor, and by, mm-hmm. yeah, creating boundaries, finding your way towards that, even though it may have taken time, you're still like, of course, it's going to take time. You're a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Just trying to figure it out. It takes adults years, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact that you're like, you know, sorted through that and been able to see what, even how you should be treated as a daughter, and mm-hmm. know that you're not your dad's savior, that he's his own savior. And he's yeah. to take care of that and own that. And you as well mm-hmm. have to take care and own your own health. And mm-hmm. and better that, if there is like one thing that you could think of to tell like 7-year-old Sav, or maybe 15-year-old Sav, maybe somebody who's listening today, sitting in a similar mm-hmm. seat that you were, is there something that you would tell them or tell your younger self?
I think a lot of it is about like, a lot of it has to do with like a lot about control. Like, like 7-year-old me seeing that, like, you know, I had like, you know, or maybe even 15-year-old me, it was like, you know, like that's like, I've had to learn that I have to control who I am. I can't control who he is. I can't control who they are. I can't control that. But the way like I can control my own healing, I can't. You know, I can't fix what happened to me, but I'm responsible of healing myself. I'm responsible of being, like, doing the work. And I think that, mm-hmm. like, you know, 15-year-old me should have, you know, kind of, like, seen that, like, as, like, it's my responsibility to, like, take care of me, not take care of others. Or even 7-year-old me, like, you know, I was so confused. Like, I thought, again, even probably by then was when that protector kind of thing came out, right? Like, mm-hmm. not knowing what was going on. And, like, I think that's what I would tell people is, like, you have to, you're responsible for your own healing, and you have to control yourself. You can't control others, because that's been the one thing I've really, like, I wanted to control everything, and I wanted all the pain. I wanted all of the things because I didn't want anyone else to get hurt, but I put my feelings and my health, like, aside. When really it's not that, like you're first, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's been really hard to deal with, that I was like, you know, my dad, my mom, my siblings, they can't be the first person I think about right. what in these situations. Like, I have to think to myself, to be like, Savannah, what do I do? What is going to make me feel okay? And then after I can fix myself, I can help others. So that's one thing that I've realized too, is like, how am I supposed to help anybody else when I'm not okay either, you yeah. know? I yeah. can try, but yeah. you're probably not going to do a great job.
Yeah.
Because you're going to just, you know, you're probably going to crash, you're going to fall apart, you're going to want to just rot in your bed.
Yeah.
you know? Yeah. And rather, if you're okay, then you can help other people be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of, like, running around. It's like that plane analogy, or when you get on a plane, it's like, put on your mask, and if anything happens before you put on the one beside you, because you can't help
exactly.
somebody if you can't help yourself, right? And it's just like
exactly
realizing that. Your mom actually mentioned that quote. I don't exactly know how she said it. You might know it now because it's very similar to what you said, but you're mm-hmm. not responsible for the pain that's been caused to you, but you are responsible for your healing.
Mm-hmm. My mama told me that.
Yeah, she did.
yeah. Yeah, yes. She did. Because it's mm-hmm. so true, though. Like, it's so true. Like, you know, I mean, if I didn't put in the work or want or, you know, wanted to fix myself, because for a long time, oh, I'm bleeding. The heck? Is that, like, maybe I didn't want to fix myself, you know? Like, yeah. Maybe, like, you know, maybe 16-year-old me was like, okay, this is life, you know, I'm giving up kind of thing. But after I realized, like, and it's also, like, a lot, too, like, people have to understand, it's not just one day. You wake up and you're like, oh, my God, I'm not happy. I'm not good, you know? It's a yeah. long time where yeah. you, one day you will wake up and you're like, oh, my gosh, all that work worked, you know? And, yeah. like, I think that, like, choosing to heal yourself and is, like, the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Because for, yeah, like, for a long time, like, I'd not, maybe I didn't want to heal myself. I just wanted it to be gone. But that's never going to happen. So you have to put in the work and you have to be responsible for your own healing, because who else is going to do it for you? Just like my dad. Who else is going to make you sober? No one yeah. but yourself. Even yeah. if I want to the end of this earth, I want to, I can't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't. And it's hard to let go, but it's worse to live in it, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That is incredible. For all those who are listening today, that is some good wisdom from 19-year-old Savannah, who's lived eight lives.
I have lived eight lives.
That is brilliant. I think so many of us can take what you said and apply it to our lives, no matter what age we're at. You are mm-hmm. a brilliantly deep soul. And
thank you.
You are.
And I learned a lot from my mom.
Yeah. Well, she's a great person to learn from. Yeah. It's incredible. Oh my goodness. That is incredible. I want to say thank you for being here and for sharing the raw, like, deep, vulnerable parts that aren't always easy yeah. to share. Actually, they're the hardest things to share.
They are the hardest things to share.
Yeah. And I know the feeling of being here in front of a camera and sharing the story, and mm-hmm. even just, like, the sweats or, like, the anxiousness that can come about the idea of sharing the story.
Yeah. Like, what to share, what not to share.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what to share and what not to share. And yeah, you're, like, you are my youngest guest on the podcast.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is. And I am so proud of you for coming and sharing and taking the leap to tell your story. It's not easy to do, and I think you're going to inspire a lot of people, and with your story, but also with, like, the courage to show up here and to share your heart and where you've come from and what you've gone through.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, like I said, like, when we first were talking about this, like, seeing, like, my aunt, like, Auntie Jamie and my mom's thing was, like, you know, like, I know a lot of things, but seeing that was, like, really inspiring to me, because my mom, like, sure, she's an open book, but she didn't really go full force, and I was, like, that was super interesting for me to, listen to, and, like, you know, the story about your dad and everything like that. It was, like, it's super inspiring, like, a lot of people, and I was, like, you know, I'm young, a lot of people could be watching this and probably been exactly where I am and need someone to, you know, say the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's, it doesn't, you know, I realize is, like, knowledge isn't based on age. Knowledge is based on what we allow ourselves to learn. And my, mm-hmm. like, my 93-year-old grandma, when I sat with her a couple of years ago, I asked her, like, what's one of the things that you would want me to always remember and do? And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, always keep learning. And aww. She's so cute. Like, she was still wearing lipstick and high heels, and she just passed away a few months ago. But she still, like, would draw her eyebrows on, and she, like, always wore her lipstick and always had her earrings, and, like, just, aww. Like, you know, and she would learn all the time, whether it was, like, how to do a new craft or learn a new Bible verse or learn a new song on the piano. Like, she was always learning something. And I mm-hmm. think that's the thing, is that if we're learning, we're growing. And
yeah.
Yeah, like, there's so much that we can take from, all of us can take from what you shared today. And I'm just so delighted that, and honored, first of all, that you reached out to me and you're, like, wanted to ask to be on the podcast.
Well, thank you for letting me.
Of course. I was just so honored and excited to have you be part of the Naked community and share your yes. story.
Well, I'm very honored that I got to do this.
Of course. Before we cap it off, I would like to know, Because I always think that it's beautiful to know what brings people joy. So in the season of your life where you are now, is there something that stands out to you like, oh yeah, this is bringing me so much joy right now?
Definitely my boyfriend. Definitely, like, you know, like my space and stuff like that. And that's bringing me a lot of joy. Like, we've been together for a year and stuff now, and it, like, I've never been this, like, excited and happy and giggly and wanting of, like, you know, he's, like, everything, and we're so, like, you know, he's a little cowboy, too, and all these things, and he's pretty much the joy of my life right now. But, like, personally, like, aside from that, like, probably, like, you know, my friends, definitely. I have really good friends right now that have been there for me, and, you know, doing my own thing, doing my own little crafts. I love cross stitching.
I love it.
I'm like an 8-year-old grandma in a 19-year-old body, but I love doing my cross stitching and my coloring and stuff. That's what really brings me, like, joy, and, like, it's kind of how I recap my day.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm not talking to myself or really thinking, it's like moving my hands, and it's like, you know, making kind of something beautiful even after, like, a bad day that I've realized that has kind of brought me joy is, like, you know, making a picture, and then I was like, oh, that looks really pretty, and, like, you know, it could have been a good day, could have been a bad day, but it's kind of something I did for myself, you know?
Yeah, it's like art is so, like, so therapeutic, no matter what form it is, I feel like.
It's very true, yeah.
Wow. That's cute. Our little 8-year-old, 19-year-old Sydney all wrapped up in one. Oh, Sydney, yeah, Savannah. No. I don't know what I called
it. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Everyone's always said, it's like, you have such, like, an old soul. Like, you have, like, you do all the grandma things. I'm like, I know.
And it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Aw, that's amazing. Well, thank you again for being here and for sipping your frap and letting me sip my drink here and chat about life and all the things that have brought us to this very moment. And know that, like, you are radiant and there is a real glow about you. And I'm thank so happy you. To see it in your eyes and in your face, and just want to squeeze you.
Yeah, like, even after talking this, like, I actually feel like a big weight, like, how you were telling me has, like, already been, like, wow, you know, that was a lot, but it was also, like, very, like, you know, at the end, you know, like, what you were telling me before, like, it was very, like, you know, it's definitely a lot just kind of came off my chest, which was good.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm, like I said to you, when people oftentimes afterwards are like, man, I didn't realize how much, and you just need to get that out. And share it, and it just, like, the weight is kind of lifted. I'm so happy that you're feeling that right off the bat. That's amazing.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Aww, well, sending you a big giant hug. I love you so so much, and I thank you too for being here, sweetie. Have an amazing rest of your day.
You too.
Okay, bye, honey. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way, you'll never miss out on any future episodes. Plus, it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.